Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning or good afternoon, everyone, wherever you are around the world, and welcome back to the world-famous Goal Achievers radio program, where we interview, learn, become inspired, and entertained by some of the most notable thought leaders, experts, and goal achievers in the world. As you know, my name is Phil Taylor, author of Set Yourself on Fire, How to Ignite Your Passions and Live the Life You Love, and your grateful host for this next hour. Well, at Goal Achievers International, we have a 7-step process that we utilize in order to set and achieve our goals. And step number 4 has to do with identifying the specialized knowledge that one needs in order to reach your goal. And in essence, that's exactly what we aim to do here on our program as we interview, learn, and tap into the minds and extensive experience of some of the most accomplished goal achievers in their area of expertise. Well, today we are absolutely delighted and honored to welcome an extraordinary speaker, consultant, and coach to our program to provide insights on the topic of how to hire the right coach. People have always engaged coaches in the athletic arena, and now more than ever, leaders are looking for professionals to help them take their skills or careers to the next level. In our program today, Elizabeth Jeffries will talk about the coaching business today, identify the type of coaches, who's hiring coaches, and insights on how various coaching processes can work for you. Elizabeth Jeffries is a CSP, CPA, Speaker Hall of Fame, is an inspirational speaker, executive coach, and author. She coaches executives in the way of servant leader, helping them to build better relationships through redirecting behavior and honing communication skills. She has personally coached scores of clients and businesses and healthcare nationally. Elizabeth lives in Louisville, Kentucky, and her website is tweed.jeffries.com. If you want to learn more about her, please do visit her website. But right here, right now, we have Elizabeth with us live on the show. Welcome to the program, Elizabeth.
Well, my pleasure, Phil. Good afternoon. It's afternoon here, so good morning or afternoon, wherever the listeners are today.
Oh, well, we got listeners all over the world. You name it. China, Japan, Australia, England, you know. So it's a real treat to have you on the program. And Elizabeth, you've had an exciting, extensive career as a speaker, as a professional, and now you're really focusing on executive coaching. For those who have not had the benefit of basically following your career up to this point, could you give us a summary of your journey and what's brought you to the place you are today?
Sure. I've been in business a long time now, mm-hmm. and about 30 years ago, and really was an event speaker for about 20 years. In other words, I spoke at conferences, I still do, speak at conferences and conventions, internal in-house programs, and I started doing that after about 10 years in the clinical arena as an RN. So I came from a nursing profession, a nursing practice, and had some fabulous experiences in that arena in leadership, starting a hospital as a part of an executive team, and some really wonderful, wonderful experiences along the way. And I became curious in one part of my career where I was actually involved in rehabilitation in the private sector, and it was about people who were injured in workers' comp cases. Mm-hmm. And part of it was in the private sector where our clients were the insurance carriers who actually paid for those folks while they were off work. And oftentimes they would talk about saying, oh, this patient's not motivated to go back to work. And one thing led to another, and I got very interested in motivation, which is why people do what they do. And what I found out was that, you know, oftentimes what the insurance company thought, that the person wasn't motivated, well, they may not have been motivated for that particular situation, but everybody is motivated. So we're just motivated for different things. And so that whole idea of what motivates people, how we tick as an individual, and I had a psychology background too, so all of those things kind of came together where I started speaking on inspiration and goals and motivation and moving forward in our lives, looking at what's holding us back, all those types of things, really, which is what you and your show is all focused on, and continuing to grow. So anyway, I did. I primarily was an event speaker for about 20 years, and then at one national event, somebody asked me from the audience, an executive in the audience asked if I would come and work with their team for a while. Well, that led into a three-year agreement with them to work with their sales team over a course of time, which I had not done up to that point. I had a lot of referral business, repeat business, back with the same clients with a different message, but not to have the longer-term relationship. And, Phil, I found that it was so wonderful because I got to see how the people put the things to use and the outcomes they had and how it affected the bottom line. So that made it very, very exciting, and that was about 10 years ago. And then for a couple of years, that piece of the business grew. And finally, after about 3 years, I said, well, you know what? I'm having such a good time with this, and at this stage of my life and my career, I'm going to do this more on purpose. So I did a lot of research about coaching, who was coaching, why they're coaching, and what would fit best with me and my personality, who was my best client, all of those questions, and came up with my process, which I've continuously honed and defined over the last years. And it's a significant part of my business now. It's more than 50% where the rest is speaking. This has really grown, and I do a limited number of it. I don't take just any clients, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, because there is a particular fit that you look for. So here I am today with over 50% doing it with executives in a one-on-one, boardrooms and classrooms and conference rooms and all sorts of things. It's great fun.
That is quite a journey. Fascinating. It seems that you found your passion, or your passion kind of found you.
Well, you know, the thing is, in our business, and I say our business as speaking, training, coaching, consulting, all of this combined, basically we are experts who deliver our message in various ways. So my expertise continues to be on that same path, but my delivery now of that expertise has grown in different directions, as well as writing. So.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly tremendously accomplished as a speaker, being inducted into the Speaker Hall of Fame and achieving your CSP and so forth, and now using this venue to empower individuals. Just to boil it down a little bit, what is coaching? How is it defined, and what's the difference in that from, let's say, counseling?
Great question. We define coaching as really a process. It's facilitating a process for people to achieve their own outcomes with commitment, accountability, and enthusiasm. And it's quite different from counseling because this is much more goal-oriented, Mr. Goal Achiever. This is much more goal-oriented. As we continue to talk and see which direction we go here with you and I can even share my process because it's really very specific. And where counseling, even though I have some clients that I do send to counseling, that I do advise them and suggest to them and coach them to have some professional help based on what's going on. But oftentimes the difference is that, first of all, counseling can just go on and on and on and on and on. Coaching does not. I have a beginning and an end to the process. That's okay. One thing. And it makes a big difference. My people are basically they're basically healthy. They usually will have challenges with the kinds of clients that I get. They have challenges with relationships in their leadership process. They're great at making the numbers, and their teams are usually very good. A lot of them have been in the organization for a while, and they've just come to a point where they're not building relationships very well, and it's hurting not only their career, but it's hurting their team, and obviously then it's hurting the company and the bottom line.
Excellent. Great definition, really defining the difference between the two. Coaching has really taken a huge presence in the workplace. There's I think a federation of certified coaches. Is that correct? Off the bat,
there is. And actually, if you Google the word coaching,
Uh-huh.
And this was actually several months ago. It might be more now, but are you ready for this? Guess how many hits?
All right.
You Google the word coaching. 233 million hits on just the word coaching.
You're kidding. No. Wow.
And then if you Google the word coaches, there's only 139 million.
Only. Oh, okay. Well, that's the amount of presence you've got with this whole theme of coaches. And if you were to break it down, there's a lot of demand for it from what you pointed out. But what type of coaches are there out there fundamentally? Let's hone in on the business segment of things.
Okay. Well, here's just one other little piece of data, because this is a couple years old, so it's probably, again, it's even more so, but this is from the market data report that estimated that there are 40,000 people in the United States that work as business or life coaches, and it's a $2.4 billion industry and growing at 18% a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's just this is probably not an exhaustive list of the types of coaches, but the ones that many of us have identified. So we have, and people will call themselves various things. So there are life coaches, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have some friends that do this. And their processes of these people, they're all different. That's why people listening to this who are thinking about engaging a coach, working with a coach in some way, short-term, long-term, whatever, to really know the differences between these. But a life coach is really probably the most personal of the kinds of coaches. And a life coach might work with you on a personal goal. It might be to lose weight or get healthier in some way. It could be anything within their life. Peer coaching is definitely something that's coming up more and more, and that would be like a team. I have a company that I'm actually working with that we're helping them to really institute and set up this team, this peer coaching piece, because it's really where a team of people, and it has to be a really, really good team that can learn to coach each other and help each other to be accountable and committed to the work that they're doing. So there's peer coaching.
Yeah.
And, of course, sales coaching, and we have salespeople. They are probably a big market for them, because really coaching is also walking alongside someone to keep them moving, to keep them accountable. And salespeople, you know, with a lot of them working on some commission or some bonus system, that's really important to them.
Hmm.
You have career coaches, you know, are helping you find jobs, manage your career in some way. And, of course, then we have athletic coaches, and you know, particularly the athletes, the professional athletes, all have coaches. You saw a lot if you – I don't know if you follow tennis or not, but this summer when with the U.S. Open, and Andy from Britain, do you know who I mean,
right,
that won the U.S. Open, and he had a new coach, and it totally changed his whole game to look at his work a little differently and his athletic ability. So we have business coaches, executive coaches, leadership coaches, organizational coaches. We have spiritual coaches, spiritual directors, oftentimes it's called that. So, you know, if you have an issue in your life and you want to walk one-on-one with somebody, there's a coach out there for you. No question about it.
And of course, there's speech coaches. I'm thinking
that's
as you're
right.
talking, that movie, The King's Speech, I think it was, from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is a portrait of really a speech coach working with.
That's right.
That's right. Fabulous. And talking about athletics, many athletes, such as Tiger Woods, will have not one coach but five coaches.
Yes.
You know, all focusing on different areas
different
of that
things.
One game.
Mm-hmm. I hope they're talking to each other, though, at least they're coordinating, and not one teaching them one thing and one something else.
Well, I think one might focus on putting and then the other on long range, and, you know, who knows.
Sure.
But very, very interesting. So who's hiring coaches typically today? I mean, if someone's listening, does everybody need a coach from your perspective, and who are those that are likely to hire a coach?
Well, I don't know if everyone needs a coach, but I think at some point in our lives, everyone could benefit from a coach.
Right.
I have a coach for something or other most of the time. Sometimes it's a personal trainer, which I consider to be a type of coach, you know, where I do some personal training where if I, you know, after this long trip that I just came back from and, you know, my habits became a little bit different, that it's to get back into the way I want to take care of myself physically, that's a really good reminder. Because, you know, I use that word accountability at the beginning in the definition, and that's a huge, huge piece of coaching, is helping people be accountable. And so, you know, organizations are hiring coaches. In other words, some of the larger organizations will have a coaching pool, and several coaches or maybe a dozen coaches could be a part of that pool that they would match up with the right person for the right time. So you'll see some large companies that will have an a pool of coaches that will be on the ready to help someone as the needs arise. Individuals. My particular coaching practice, I'm hired by an organization. I rarely, if ever, work directly with an individual who pays me. I'm much more with the organization. But individuals, there will be people, and I have many of my colleagues who work with individuals that pay them individually. And that, could be for anything. That could be around their career, could be, you know, any aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. And then business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, who want a heads up on their business in some way. There are coaches that do just that coach only business owners. And, of course, we know athletes. So should we have a coach? I think if you have an issue that's bothering you or that's getting in your way or causing you to derail in some part of your life, it's definitely worth looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm thinking about just the aspect of physical fitness, too. How many people hire, you know, personal trainers to help them take care of that area of their lives. Fantastic. How do you select a coach that's right for you? Is there a certification that is needed in order for somebody to have credibility as a coach, and do you look for that as one of the criteria, and what other areas do you consider when hiring a coach?
The certification is an interesting concept. There are a lot of coaches that are certified, and there are many, many organizations that certify coaches. Mm-hmm. So that is currently a personal preference. It is not mandatory to be a coach to be certified, because there are some organizations that do a really good job with that, and there are some organizations that, like anything else, you know, they'll offer certification, and it's only as good as maybe the paper you've got it written on.
Right.
So if on the other end, if somebody that's listening to this is thinking about coaching or adding that to their repertoire, they just need to take a look and see what works for them. Personally, because by the time I started, certification was not a big deal, and I had been in my work for so many years that my credibility for the information that I was sharing and for the way I was doing it was already established. And I went directly into companies that already knew me, so there's a credibility there. So in choosing a coach, I think that's one of the questions to ask. I would not make that be the final decision over someone. I think one of the first things is does this person have the experience and credentials could be all sorts of things. They might have an MBA, and if they're going to help a business owner, that might be much more helpful than being certified as a coach. Because really, coaching is a process, okay? It's a way that we impart our information to help people move to the next level and whatever the issue might be. So there are many, many ways to coach someone. And I've certainly had through my own work and my own research, and I have my process, and my process may be very different than someone else's. So if you were looking for a coach, let's say you came up to some, some dead stop in your career, and you wanted to grow and you weren't really sure what to do next, So, you know, you weren't in really a lot of pain, although you remember that people really don't change until the pain of the present is greater than the pain of the change.
Yeah.
So oftentimes that pain of something not working in their life is what causes a person to see, I really want to have a little help, or their boss says to them, you need some help, you know, if it's in the business world. And so most of the time, I would really prefer to have developmental coaching than to have performance coaching. It's very difficult to work in a performance coaching situation because, you know, habits are really hard to change. So what to look for would be somebody who is experienced and has the knowledge base and whatever the credentials might be appropriate to that for what you want to learn. I think a referral is very important. I think chemistry with the two people is critical. It's absolutely critical. You have to really be able to connect, and you have to really like that person, basically. You have to be able to say, I trust what they're saying. I like what they're saying, and they're gonna push me, and I need that. So to definitely ask questions, I would definitely ask for testimonies from other people, references. But ultimately, you've got to really have good chemistry too. It just is so. It's hard enough when you really like somebody because they're if they're doing their job, they're going to really hold your feet to the fire.
How do you know that your personality will work well with their personality and vice versa? Is there any questions, key questions to ask, or is it just a trial and error type of situation?
Well, I can just speak for myself on that because I think if a person has some level of understanding of themselves, the old adage that we make an impression in the first couple of seconds with somebody, you know, is true. Now, if you're rubbing the wrong way right away, then you have to ask yourself, why? Are they holding up the mirror to you that, you know, you're seeing something that you don't want to see? But, from my end as the coach, and I don't know if this is a place, but I can, is this a place where maybe I can share with you just a little bit of the process?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay, because it really is part of the choosing. I have my whole process documented for one thing. Part of it's on the website, and then I actually have my executive mastery coaching process and exactly how it works. And it's a six-month process because you don't – because they're looking into changing behavior in some way, doing something different, and they're not going to do it in a week, and they're not going to do it in 2 and 3 sessions. It takes a minimum of 6 months to get them on the path to continue to alter or shift or redirect behavior in the case of what I'm working with.
Okay.
And so the first thing is usually I get a call, and I've had actually 2 calls this week and 2 new coaching clients I'm starting with, but they were both calls. One was from the person themselves, and the other was from the HR person calling about one of their executives. So in the case of the person calling themselves, usually that is somebody that I've met somewhere along the way that may have been in one of my programs, as this was the other day. Okay, and because of the message that I shared, they called me a couple days later and said, you know what? I'm really ready to have more growth in my life, and this will be paid for by their organization. Actually, this happens to be a church, and it happens to be a senior minister. So the church, we worked out the things, and their church will cover this. And so I had met him, he had met me, and so we already started with something positive. And when that happens, you know, they've met you, they've heard you in some way. That's a really good start. But usually for our process, the phone will ring and it's an HR person or a president of a company or some executive level that says, you know what, we've got this situation here. And they'll tell me about it. I'll ask the questions. They'll tell me what the situation is, what's going on that makes you think this person needs a coach, and ask all those questions. And then the next question is, have you had a conversation with this person so that they know that they have an issue. Well, they hadn't had a conversation with them. Mm. So it's not my place to get in this yet. They need to go and talk to the person. They need to go and talk to them. And you know, Phil, you think you're saying, yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing how often this happens. And even in an HR arena, because I'm convinced that most people do not have the skills to do carefrontation and to really explain to a person what they see that may be derailing them or may be a bit of a challenge or some areas where they need to opportunities for growth. Mm-hmm. And we don't have, generally speaking, a lot of people don't have the skills to share that. They'll go next door and they'll tell their neighbor in the next cubbyhole or down the hall or the next office and say, you know, John's driving me crazy. I don't know why he talks that way, and et cetera, et cetera. But to really have that conversation with another person, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume they've talked to the person. Then the next thing that I do is say, okay, let's continue to explore, and please have the person call me. So I don't call them. I want them to call me because that is another little clue to how motivated they are. So then the person will call me and we'll have the conversation on the phone, because most of my I have people all over the country, and they will call me and we'll have I'll have a good half an hour conversation on the phone, and I can tell personally, I can tell then, and usually they can tell too, by the questions that I ask, by the tone of my voice, by the process that I describe to them. And in all the years I've been doing this, I've only had one person where I said, you know what, I don't think I'm the best person for you. And I'm happy to give you a couple more names, and I think it would be wise maybe for you to just interview a few more people. And that's only happened one time in the scores of people that I've coached, but I could just hear it on the other end. This was not going to be a good fit. Be a good fit. So, you know, ask the questions. It's really critical to just, before you make the commitment, and, you know, knowing if you're doing it yourself, knowing, you know, how long it's going to be, how do you pay, you know, because I've got people that, not me personally, but some of my colleagues, one of my colleagues in particular, who the people, she works with individuals, and they pay on a monthly basis, and they give her a credit card, and every month she just runs the amount through the credit card. So they need to know exactly how the payment is, all those pieces of the financial part, and the accountability. Because then the process, once you say, okay, I'm in, then the process really starts.
So from the get-go, you identify the goal that you want to reach, and then how do you measure the progress and how you're doing? Is there a component that you work with that monitors that?
Well, I don't start with a goal, believe it or not. That's not the first thing we do, at least in our process.
Okay.
So the first thing is I will send them a link, and they take a battery of assessments. And we measure, we start measuring right away with assessments. And the reason I use assessments is because they are responding, and it helps them to hold up the mirror, and they see in print exactly how they're coming across. So they go on, and I have a battery of about, I think there's five now in this one. We measure behavior, how they tend to do things, drivers or motivators, why they do what they do. We measure emotional intelligence, which is their use of their emotions and how they control themselves. And we measure skills. So they take what we call a DNA. We measure 25 skills that looks at what's developed, well developed, and could use development. And but we have to talk about the job too, or whatever it is that's going on. So that part goes on. They're doing that, and then I'm doing a 360. And again, I'm talking about business. So I'm doing a 360, and I prefer to do a verbal 360, where I have about five or six people that I call that is in their sphere of influence, probably their boss, or if they're the CEO, I may call a board member. May not call anybody if it's a, it depends on if the person calls me directly, an executive calls and they want something just for themselves. We may work within that contained situation, just the two of us. But if it's somebody that says, you know, that they need feedback, then I will personally call five or six people and get feedback, and I have a series of questions that I ask. So then I gather all that information. I gather the information from the assessments, and I go wherever that person lives. I go and meet with them personally in their office, and we meet for about 3 or 4 hours. I give them the feedback on the assessments. I give them the feedback on the 360, and then we set goals, and no more than 3 goals. Okay? And they decide based on, because, see, as a process coach, my whole job is to ask questions, not to tell somebody what to do. It's really to ask the questions and wait. That's not always easy, but, you know, that's really what makes it work.
And do you use different assessment processes or forms for different individuals in different cases?
Not usually. I have a battery, so it, you know, it measures those things. And I might do less, but it's rare. I need to know all those things about them. I interview them extensively then when we're together one-on-one, when I'm giving them the feedback. I get their work history, you know, what issues they've had, family. I will oftentimes will interview their spouse if they're married, and you know, get as full a picture of them as I can, and then I give them that feedback of what others are saying, what their strengths are. See, it's not just what's not working, but it's what are their strengths and talents and gifts that they see.
So do you use an assessment like a DISC type of assessment form?
Well, that's only one of them. That's the behavioral.
That's a behavioral, so you'll use one of one of the interesting parts, and it's just backtracking, and this process is very, very enlightening, is the whole question of finding the right coach for you. Is it always wise to have a coach that you feel great with, or is it even wiser to maybe, you know, be with a coach that challenges you out of your comfort zones and maybe causes you to think, hey, why am I feeling this way type of thing? I don't know if
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think you have to have chemistry. If I don't have a chemistry, if I don't respect a person or believe that they can help me, I don't care how much they're going to push me or love me, I'm probably not going to have a real good outcome. Most of the clients that I have worked with are still my friends. That's just really, I get engaged totally in their lives and their work. I can tell you their kids' names, their, you know, those kinds of relationships are what make this so beautiful. Now, I've had some coaching clients that I'm going, oh my gosh, is this 6 months ever going to get over with? Because it's not easy, because they really are having a hard time looking in the mirror, or they're in denial, or they're just doing the process because their boss said they have to. And then we're not going to get good outcomes. But, you know, you can't coach in a vacuum. So I need that feedback, and then I'm creating some relationship with whoever it was that called me about this person. Because usually, in my case anyway, it's not just the two of us in a vacuum. There's always other people involved. So we want feedback. I want to know, they need to know how they are being perceived. Are they growing? You know, and what does that look like?
Is there the challenge with oneself to make themselves coachable? What does someone need to bring to the table to make themselves coachable? Do you ever face that question and challenge?
Yes, and I can see it on the I can see it in the assessments. I can see in the assessments if they're going to be coachable or not, and I can hear it on the phone. But the thing is I'm not afraid to confront them, and I think that's really important. So you do need somebody that is going to say, okay, Phil, I heard you say this. Is that what the direction you want to go? Or, you know, to be able to ask the tough questions, or to say, is that working for you? Okay. And I have to wait for an answer, because at some point, I've had clients, truly, that have been so fabulous, I wish we could just be together forever. And I've had some that have been very difficult. But the very difficult ones, if they will stay the course, they will have, they could have major breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talk about motivation. Motivation's everything. It's that internal desire that says, I want to grow. Something in my life is not working. I'm having problems with my team, or my health is terrible, or, you know, my blood pressure's up. It could be anything. But until the pain of the present situation is worse than the pain of the change, they're not going to engage. And I want to know that as much as I can up front before I send them that invoice, because my coaching clients pay up front, totally pay everything up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that may or may not be the norm, but there's no norm in this business anyway.
Another word that pops up as you're speaking, and we'll continue on the process because this is so fascinating, is the word mentorship. Is, we talked about the difference between counseling and coaching. Is there, what's the distinction between mentorship and coaching?
Well, one of the big distinguishes is there's no pay in mentoring. In coaching,
right.
it is a paid agreement. So that's that's probably the biggest.
Okay.
I mean, so, really, because a mentor, you can, I mean, a mentor is someone who is going to help you, and it's usually an internal person or somebody in, you know, I'm in process of putting an e-book, one of my books on Amazon is an e-book, and I happened to mention it to one of my friends in an email just in the last day or so, and she emailed me back and she said, I need to do that. And she actually used the language, will you mentor me on how to do that? Well, of course I will. So I'm just going to show her what I'm doing. You know, I'll ask her some questions, show her what I'm doing. I connected her to the person that's helping me. It's that kind of thing. You don't even think about money. You know, you think about learning a skill or having some gap filled in that you now need. And coaching is much, much deeper process, and it's and it has a payment to it.
Yeah. Well, you're helping define it. It seems that mentorship seems to be more of an advisory position and a lot of a softer approach that's not necessarily goal-driven versus...
No, I don't think so, Bill. I think what it is that a mentor really needs to be somebody who is doing or has done what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
And so, yes, it could be, then it would be advisory because, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this, or I'm going to show you how to navigate through this organization because I've done it. I'm now here at this VP level, and you're as a young manager, then I can show you the ins and outs of being able to move along in your career because I've done it.
Right.
See? So it's usually a mentor is somebody who has done something, accomplished something that you want to attain yourself. And now it's the style thing again. It's the style thing again of, you know, the connection and respect and trust and all of those things still play into the mentor role.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Do you think,
so going back to the processes, we're at the point where you establish no more than three goals, and that's are the goals strictly targeted on a 6-month process, or do you have a goal that is a 30-day goal, 60-day goal? How does that work out?
Okay, well, from the three major goals, and again, because mine are usually around relationships in some way, the first thing is, of course, they will have a journal because they're going to be journaling every day in this process. They're going to be that's part of the commitment, and then so I will start with giving them some assignments, and the first month oftentimes is nothing more than creating awareness. Because if they don't know what they're doing or not doing, there's nothing they can do to alter it. So if the feedback is that they are interrupting people or they're disorganized, let's say they're disorganized, because that is one thing that comes up, and the disorganization leads to lots of other issues with the team, let's say, and getting the job done. So that, let's say that's one issue, that they really feel they need to get a better handle on their all of the things going on in their, let's say, their world of work. And by the way, this is one of the things that this minister is talking about. And we haven't even met yet. But again, I've met him, so this is one of the things that he's saying. Now, I see this in the assessments, by the way. So I already know this because I can tell by the assessments. I'm master trained in these assessments, and I can tell a lot about the person, but I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to ask them questions around that. We've defined this, and in the first part is increasing awareness. So they have assignments then to because they've got to build their awareness of how they are now behaving and is it working. And then they come back. We talk every 2 weeks in the first 3 months, and this is almost always by phone. The first part is a personal meeting for that 3 or 4 hours, and almost always the rest of it is by phone because they're across the country someplace else. If they're here in the area, I will make other arrangements to meet with them personally in different ways. Mm. And so they will come back then, and they will tell me the story to give me the feedback. How did this work? What did you learn? What worked? What would you do differently next time? So we go through that process to just continue to raise their awareness. And throughout this, they'll have goals towards the next time we talk. In the next 2 weeks, what are you going to do? What do you want to do? Okay, well, and all these things will be working through. And then at 3 months, they're going to write a summary of their learning. And they write all this. They write the goals. They write the summary. It's not my language. It's theirs. We may or may not share it with the person. It depends on who it is or what level. If it's a manager, usually then their boss will somehow or other be involved in the process because in this other one with this executive, his boss is going to be actively involved in this, which means I'm also going to do some assessments on the boss to help them to communicate with each other more effectively. So. And then they'll do that same, the last three months, they'll write another summary. So we actually have probably 10 to 12 communication in after the initial couple of hours where I go to them, and sometimes more. It depends on the person, but it's never less than that.
And those communication sessions span a period of what, an hour each?
An hour each. Yeah,
so you'll spend time-wise, one-on-one with the client, about 15 hours. And that's aside from, I guess, a lot of the research and the preparation and so forth that goes into it, if I'm not mistaken.
It's usually more than that, but that's fair enough. It always ends up being longer, which is fine. Not so much longer because if they have some key something coming up next week, I'm not going to wait 2 weeks to talk to them. So every person, every coaching situation is different and personalized. I have one now. I have an executive that I started with 4 years ago when she was promoted to a vice president. And helped her move into that role that's onboarding into a new role as an executive, and worked with her for almost a year because her boss saw the potential in her, and he's the one who called me. And then, you know, we all got together and talked it through, and it was a total delight. We kind of stayed in touch because I still work with the company in various ways. And then about 6 or 8 months ago, she called me again and said, I'm being prepared to be CEO.
Wow.
And she is now CEO, so I'm walking with her again. And right now we talk a couple times a week. I'm so engaged in her process and what she's doing, and now I'm starting with her team. So in our kind of business, you don't really coach. You don't coach in a vacuum. There's so many other situations and people involved, and that's what makes it so rewarding because I'm not only watching her grow, but I'm watching this organization grow and being a little tiny part of it. In the background, that is, it's just so joyful. I just have a smile on my face all the time when I think of them.
Fantastic. Now, you define yourself as an executive coach. What kind of clients typically come to you? Could you give us a summary or a definition of the specific types of people that come to you?
Yeah. Well, an executive is really somebody in the C-suite. So they're either a CEO. Or their report to a CEO. So they're like a CEO, vice presidents, or directors, depending on the structure of the organization. But they are in top-level decision-making positions, male or female. I have a heavy group of clients in healthcare because that is my primary background. I know hospitals and health systems. I'm actually, when we finish this today, I'm meeting with somebody about that's actually coming into town to talk to me about coaching. So that's primarily is healthcare, but I'm in an area here where we have some large corporations. So I've worked with lots of Fortune 500. I've worked with ministers. They're senior ministers, the senior minister in their churches. And I really am better with those folks now. If they're a middle manager or a new manager, I will usually suggest a couple of my colleagues. And that's mostly my preference. Plus, also remember, I only take 7 coaching clients at a time. That's a lot of work.
Right. And what are their goals? Do most of your clients look, because you're dealing in the business sector oftentimes, for a way to measure it from a monetization standpoint, from a profit standpoint? Here I've invested X amount of hours and capital into coaching, and I'm expecting this to translate in this kind of profit. Is it financial profit that you find a lot of people looking at, or is it a level of personal content?
Oh, no, I'd say it's neither of those.
I think it's about
outcome, because my focus is primarily with relationships. If they are learning how to build a better relationship and how to treat people differently and how to be aware of people and how to have empathy, compassion, what language to use when you talk to people, how to ask questions and to listen to people and respond. I mean, sometimes these things are so basic you wonder, how did these people get to where they are without them?
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on the culture of the organization and all those things. So it's that kind of outcome. However, monetizing it is extremely important, and that is what the last summary is about. Part of the question that they have to answer on the last summary is it is around the financial part of their work. In other words, if this my executives, I'm very blessed, they're very high paid executives. So what they do with their time affects the organization. What they do with the relationship affects the bottom line in the organization. So
sure.
I ask them to monetize it, and I ask them to estimate the savings or the actual income to the company by what they learned. And that's they are responsible for answering that. And I just step back, and the answers that they give, it just blows my mind, because
sure.
we're talking about some big money that they feel that they have transferred in some way by what they learned. Because if they can learn to treat their team better, and their team is our salespeople, you know, you can measure that. You know, and so some of those, I don't work with as many salespeople right now, because most of the salespeople are, you know, they're out in the field and things like that. So oftentimes the vice president may have some responsibility towards sales, but that's not their direct job.
What kind of do you have tools that help the person through the process of assessing and measuring the profitability of their investment?
In my part, I'd have to say probably not like that, just based on what I'm saying. I'm not called or brought in to have somebody earn more money or save them more money.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to include that, which is why I do that last part.
Sure.
The people that generally that I work with are, they're not directly responsible for bringing sales in or bringing something in that will increase sales in in an organization. But their behavior and the way they treat customers, the way they treat each other or their team can diminish the amount of dollars that would come into a company, because people won't be as likely to want to work with them.
Oh, no question
and
about it.
You know, those kinds of things.
One word,
wrong. That help?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one word wrong spoken can cost thousands and thousands of dollars. Just one word, you know.
Yeah.
It could cost whether someone stays with the company or leaves and one's level of productivity. Well,
yeah.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, Elizabeth, could you believe the time has flown by?
Oh, my gosh, I just looked at it myself. Oh, you know, one of the things... one of the things, Phil, is if people are looking for a coach, they need to really ask them what they believe about coaching. What's their philosophy? Because, for instance, we believe that people are capable and able, but they may not know it yet. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I also believe that it's a privilege to be somebody's coach. I am so totally humbled to think mm-hmm. that somebody would engage this process with me. So, mm-hmm. What do they believe about coaching? I believe that coaching is coaching relationship is sacred, and I believe it's confidential. So those kinds of questions that they need to ask. Well, what's your philosophy of coaching? They could just ask that question.
Excellent. And coaching is not only a privilege, but it is a gift. Not everybody is called to be a coach. I know I'm not.
Well, I'll tell you, I never thought that I was. I never thought that this would be something I would do because I just sort of want to tell people what to do. I just want to tell them, if I can see it, just go do this. But that's
right.
Not what coaching is. So, we are polished and honed in many ways ourselves as coaches, which, by the way, another question to ask, people need to ask the potential coach for them if they have a coach currently or have ever had a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because coaches need to be coached. We need
now,
to be coaches.
We talked about a lifestyle coach or life coach.
Uh-huh.
Would a life coach kind of cover all the – how many coaches would you suggest somebody realistically should have if they could wave a magic wand? Would that life coach cover all the bases, or should they have five coaches or one coach?
At one time?
Uh-huh.
At one time? Well, I can see why Tiger Woods would have five coaches because there are
right.
five different actual skills that he can learn and practice right there.
Right.
The complexity of us as human beings is a little different than that. And I think you can have lots of coaches, but I would not think you would want more than one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Really. And I know you're going to be interviewing Naomi and as a life coach and a speech coach. Yeah, so she'll talk about that. Because life coaches really do go into a lot of different areas, but it's usually a life coach. There's something specific there that is not working for them that they want to move beyond or learn about or something. So you'll get some other insights in that direction from her. But I think it could be very confusing if an executive that I was working with also had a life coach. I would tell them, you go ahead and work with the life coach, and when you feel complete with that area or at a stopping point, then we can start. I would not work with somebody I would work with someone who's going to counseling, definitely, because I do suggest that to some people. So that's my thing.
Fantastic. Now, what about people who you did in the introduction talk about peer coaching? Is that the same thing as being part of a mastermind group?
No.
Okay.
This is really the peer coaching is pretty much an official coaching process. It's probably talked about in the last couple of years, and you'll see some papers on it and all. But it's really a business situation. Now, what you may be talking about, and of course, in a mastermind, I'm in two masterminds, and within mm-hmm. one of the masterminds, we have I have actually asked one of the people, told him about an accountability partner. I like mm-hmm. having an accountability partner almost all the time for something or other. Now, and so for instance, it might be I'm doing this e-book, and I've got all these other things going on in my life and in my work, but this is really important, and I want somebody to walk with me in it so that I can just keep my feet to the fire and keep moving with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've had a gal in one of my masterminds that, that's very specific, though. It's for, let's get the book done. That's my goal. She's got something she wants to get done, and we commit to maybe 30 days, maybe 90 days, depending on what it is. I'm actually getting ready to start another one now with another whole part of my life. But and just having an accountability partner one-on-one, just two people who know each other, like each other, both want to grow, each have something different they want to work on or develop or have a goal towards, that works really, really well.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on your program. You have awakened in me, and I'm sure our listeners, so many interesting thoughts about, you know, how we can accelerate our process towards the achievement of our goals and develop ourselves into the person we want to be, both personally and professionally. So thank you so very much for being on the program. If people want to learn more about the services that you offer, where can they go?
Our website that you shared with them. They just need to spell our names. It's tweedjeffries.com. Uh-huh. And Stephen Tweed is my husband and business partner. So that's TweedJeffries is probably the best way for now.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And from there, they can find your phone number, your email, and follow you on social media, can't they?
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be
fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming on our program. If there was one thing that people can take away from this discussion that we had today, what would it be that you'd like to highlight?
Oh, my gosh. I think if you really want to grow, if you have a goal towards something that you want to achieve, get somebody to walk with you, a coach, a mentor, an accountability partner, a good friend, but somebody that will help you and walk alongside you. Because I just don't think we can do all those things alone and stay really motivated. I'm motivated myself. This fired me up, Phil. Thank you so much.
Well, likewise, I'll be doing a lot of thinking, a lot of self-evaluation, and looking into the need for coaching myself. So thank you so much, Elizabeth, for coming on our program. It's been a real blessing, and you are welcome back anytime. We'll be following your progress with great interest.
My privilege.
God bless you.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Okay. Until next time.
Bye-bye.